Episode 60 of the Friendly Geordies podcast. Hello and welcome. We've got Jordan Shanks in the studio.
Pleasure to meet you. We're just going to go through this really quickly because we're about to run into music. Tom.
Hello.
Montefiore and Robbie Armfield. Hello. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day or whatever it is you're doing. We're talking today about lots of stuff relevant to you.
The people. Do we have an order for what we're doing today?
We sure do, Tom.
All right, so we're starting off on...
Why did you ask and then go, okay, so here's the order.
Oh, you got a little cookie for me there.
A little cookie here, a little bit of a Trey Bien opening here, if you'd like.
There you go. Minus one of the ingredients, so it's just a cookie.
All right, so let's talk about Common Man. Common Man.
That's not what we're doing at all.
Oh, you've got an order in front of me.
You said check. All right, the way this works is...
Let's just put the cookies down.
Yep.
This is... I hate that sound.
But you showed me the list. You're like, check this list. This is what we're doing. So,
it wasn't in order, though.
That was the order.
All right. Well, let's do this.
Let's do Epicurean philosophy. So, this is a little interesting...
We're starting off with a heavy.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe we should do it. We'll start off with a heavy.
God damn.
That's
it. I reckon.
In a segment we like to call, Bout to Knock Your Mind Out. Mixing boxing with philosophical thoughts.
Yeah.
Only on Friendly Geordies.
All right. So, I'm going to be talking about Epicurus.
There you go.
Where's that song from?
That was the 1975 with their song The Sound, and they reference Epicurean philosophy, like Tom's talking about today.
Yeah, so I'm reading a fun book on philosophy called Constellations of Philosophy by Alain de Botton, and yeah, I'm really into it, so I thought I'd talk about it a bit. And we talked about it last week when we were talking about optimism versus realism. Or was that the week before?
It was the week before.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Robbie giving Tom a high five for reasons unknown. Explain yourself. Why did that deserve a high five?
Just padding.
Yeah, just padding.
Because Tom...
Okay.
God, I hope you get over your flu quickly because you are the pad master. Padwan.
Padwan. Oh, another high
another
five.
One. Another only one. Only a few minutes in, two high fives.
All right.
Are we going to get the trifecta? Stay tuned.
So, everyone knows, a lot of people know of Epicurus, and he's often known, it seems, for being misunderstood, because that's the thing you always hear about him. He's an old-time Greek philosopher who, whenever you hear about him, the first thing you hear is, oh, yeah, most people actually misunderstand what Epicurus is all about. Have you heard that?
People think he's about, like, decadence and overdoing it, basically, with the things that you desire, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That phrase is... It's like the version of when somebody says, I'm going to get Indian, and then they say, North Indian or South Indian? Even though nobody's ever been to a South Indian restaurant, there's just Indian and North Indian.
Yeah.
But they feel like that they're more educated if they don't say, oh, the one with the butter chicken or the one with the chicken tikka mostly.
Yeah, so it's kind of... Epicurus has been definitely misunderstood. So he's known as... Because he was known as, like, the pleasure dude of, like, happiness, of how to be happy.
Right.
Here's what we're talking about, how to be happy.
The Dionysus bought in Futurama of philosophers.
Yeah, exactly. So, his whole thing was that pleasure is the beginning and the goal of a happy life, is his quote. And he's saying, like, the way to be happy is be pleasurable, which is an easy thing to understand.
Mm.
But the way to have... to properly be happy is, like, to properly define that is where it gets confusing. And he argues that it's the philosopher's job to work out how someone should be happy, because he's saying people don't really know how they should be happy. Like, they're misled so easily. For instance, you might think, like, oh, I want to buy the Ferrari, or I want, you know, like, a really fancy house. That will make me happy. And he's saying it's the same as if you've got a broken leg, thinking, oh, I know how to treat this. Like instead of thinking, oh, maybe I should go to a doctor and a doctor will be able to help me with my broken leg. He's saying the philosopher is the doctor of your brain.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Right.
So, like...
Dr. Smiley.
Yeah, yeah. So, the philosopher can tell you...
Epicurus,
no, the house is
known
the...
as Dr. Smiley.
Yeah, yeah. So, Epicurus is like, I'm the doctor here. Listen to me. I'll tell you what you need to be happy. And he came up with three key ingredients to live a happy life. And he says, if you have these three things... you'll be happy no matter what.
Wow, what a simple chef.
Yeah, it's so easy. It's as easy as this. Down
than Huey.
Yeah, three simple steps.
He's about communal living, right?
Yeah, so that's one of his three steps. So, yeah, he lived. He really did put his philosophy into practice, and, like, he did exactly what he preached.
Would you guys consider yourselves communal livers, seeing as you effectively have a village living in your apartment?
We kind of are, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Stave off, repopulate the planet, and Armageddon, surely.
Yeah, if we just had a little veggie patch, we'd be pretty communal. That's all we'd need.
Yeah. And at the moment, you've just got a sad cactus that is, regardless of them being able to withstand a decade without water, it's still dying.
Yeah, we have one of those self-sustaining ecosystem balls, which is just dead. You'd think you could just... Yeah, you don't need to do anything. It should do it itself, but it's... Yeah. Anyway.
Nonetheless, the official position of the Friendly Geordies podcast is that Tom and Robbie do have a perfectly self-sustaining and ready-to-repopulate ecosystem living in their apartment.
Yes. So, the first thing he said is friendship is the first... big thing to get. Like, you need friends to be happy. It's the whole, like, Into the Wild Christopher McCandless thing of, like, happiness is best when shared.
Yeah, that, or sadness.
Yeah, so Epicurus got to it a few thousand years before him, where he said, of all things that wisdom provides to help one live one's entire life in happiness, the greatest by far is the possession of friendship. So he's saying that the only way to... Like, he's saying, essentially, you don't exist unless someone can see you existing. So, like, if you do something, you know, if you have a nice experience, like, it's like when you're eating good food, yes. The food is irrelevant. The thing you should really be thinking about is who you're eating the food with. So he
sometimes.
Sometimes the food can be nice, but if you were to logically think about it in, like, a kind of...
Right.
Okay. Like, you could imagine having a bad meal, but with friends, and that experience could still be enjoyable. Well, you could imagine having a very tasty meal, but if you were to do that all the time and never eat with anyone, you could see that being like quite a lonely way of living.
Moderation, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely rubbing up against the philosopher in this room. Robbie clearly has his life sorted out the best out of us three. He would fervently disagree with that, surely.
Because do you eat alone a lot?
I do eat alone a lot, and I think that... But I appreciate eating together as well. I think that... But a healthy mix. You know, you don't want to eat... you don't want to eat alone all the time.
Well, he's
you
saying
don't want to eat together all the time.
Eating's so a good time to do, like, to remind yourself of friendship. And, like, the people... He's saying, like, think about who are the people you're eating with. Like, are you eating with... You know, he's just saying, throw away the trash. Like, if the person's not any good, don't be friends with them. Like, just surround yourself with people that you like.
Something hipsters need to learn.
Yeah.
90% of your friends are trash. Throw them out.
Yeah, you don't need them.
They dress like garbage bags. They smell like garbage bags. You know, if it smells like dog shit, it tastes like dog shit, it's dog shit. Get rid of your fucking friends.
It seems like common sense, but yeah, just like, you know, get some friends. So, second one.
What? Okay.
His second thing was freedom. So, he was saying you need, like, freedom is, like, a very essential one, which I think you could agree with, Robbie, which we talk about sometimes with, like, career. The thing we were saying the other day, how you don't like the idea of a superior, you know, like, authority really... gets to you. Do you like with your job at the moment, for instance, you're not a fan of...
I don't really want to go shit talking and stuff, really.
Let's not shit talk anyone, but I'm just saying, like,
but you hate your boss.
I'm not. Yep. I'm not comment. I can neither confirm nor deny anything Tom just said.
Yep.
Okay. Right. So that is a jury very duty tacit response. Confirmation. That he hates his boss.
Yeah. I don't know if it is though. So Tom,
don't bleep it out.
So he's saying, like, to be truly free, you shouldn't work for money. Because, like, if you're working for money, you're going to always have, like, condescending superiors, is what he's saying. And so, what he did to put into practice, he started the first ever commune where he and his mates, who is all his friends he's surrounded by, went out and lived in this big, like, you know, rural area, grew all their own food, did everything completely self-sustainably, so they wouldn't have to be involved in politics and money and any kind of...
Simple life, simple pleasures, right?
Yeah. Wait,
so, he did what Jonestown did?
Yeah, yeah, or, like, the Mansons and stuff. Like, just a commune. Like, hippies, like, would have loved this shit.
Like, but it's pretty great because he is the cult leader writing this going, and they all loved it.
Yeah.
Whereas we know from Jonestown that the senator that went down there got at least 30 letters of people going, please help me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, the whole thing... All right, let me just keep going and I'll...
I know it still exists today. People still sort of live by this. I was actually watching, I don't know if you know the show Shark Tank.
Tank. It's sort of like Dragon's Den.
Yes, we know that.
But so it's on Channel 9, I think, which is
10, you idiot.
10. It's on 10. It's on 10.
He's been exposed.
The one that came to us saying, I don't know if you've heard about this, but yeah. I'm an expert on Shark Tank.
We know more about it than you.
It's on Channel 10, which is... it's not as good as Channel 7, but I've got to give credit where it's due, and this show's all right. Anyway, there were a couple of guys basically stroking a vegan little ball that you can eat, and they were quite shaggy and wore, like, multicolored stuff, and it was an okay business. So I think it was... Well, actually, I think it was tanking a bit, but they... anyway, they were
tanking
living
in Shark Tank. It's the sharks.
They were living an Epicurean life. They were living together, and there you go,
growing their own stuff.
Yeah, they're on TV as well, so you can still get on TV if you're an Epicurean.
Yeah, well, that's what he's saying. Like, remove yourself from the system. Don't play the game. You know, just get away from money, from politics.
So the exact opposite of what Robbie was suggesting just then.
Yeah, like they were pitching a business idea to get money for. Like,
that seems a bit odd, doesn't it? Actually, they are.
Living the Epicurean lifestyle in reverse.
Yeah. Mm. The image of it, maybe, but not actually doing it.
Maybe that's stupid.
The Epicurean man in the mirror, those two hippies that were on Shark Tank in 2016, season 3, I'm guessing.
Having cake, eating it too.
Shut up. What are you talking about?
A little bit of poetry.
Yeah. All right, so the third one was thought, which is his final one, the most important one. Is that he says, you just need to think. Like, just think a bit. As in... Well, what he's saying is, like, this goes into, like, there's a lot of ways to think to make yourself a happier person. But he's saying, like, things like what we were talking about, like, hope for the best, prepare for the worst, like, to analyze anxieties about money, illness, death, and the supernatural, one can calm the mind. So, for instance, if you're scared of ghosts, if you... truly, like, logically think about ghosts for long enough, you'll come, hopefully, if you're, like, if you're able to think well enough, you'll come to the realization that a ghost probably isn't in the other room, and then you would be able to calm your mind from that fear. So, like, a lot of fears come from an unthought out problem. So, like, the big one he talked about heaps was death. He was saying if you could truly understand that, his quote is, there is nothing dreadful in life for the man who has truly comprehended that there is nothing terrible in not living. Because he's saying, if you think about death, you can't experience it. There's not going to be, like, once you die, if you think about it hard enough, it's not an experience, it's just a nothing. So you can't be scared of a non-experience.
You can be scared of the, you know, the shitstorm of pain that can come,
can lead to the death. Yeah. So he's saying, like, if you aren't scared of not existing, then there's nothing in life that you can be scared of. That, like, that should be, that's the absolute worst fear you can imagine, is death to a living thing, is the non-living.
No, that doesn't address Robbie's point at all.
I know,
being,
he's saying,
tortured,
the suffering sucks. Component of that would be bad. Yeah, but he's saying, like, things like, if you're truly not scared of, like, not existing, then, like, a petty worry about, you know, some,
you know, just being locked in
something.
A box for 15 hours.
I'm sure you can
as
think
they were
bad.
In Abu Ghraib. I mean, really.
I'm sure you come bad. To extremes of things that are, like, you know, very
chill
terrible.
Out, just die. Chill out. Yeah.
But I think if you are, like, truly not scared of death, so, like, then you would be, it would be a comfort to when you're going through problems in life.
Sure.
You can always
I see what you're saying. And so that's what Epicurean
well,
thought, right?
Yeah, but then he's, like, other things as well. So, like, money, for instance. You know, like, he's saying money is important to a point, like, where, you know, you need security. But if you thought about money long and hard enough, like, what do you actually need the money for? You'd come to the realization that money isn't that important, especially if you're him and you're living and not needing money at all, like, growing veggies and shit. And, So there's his, like, three key things. So, friends and...
And so, when we were discussing this while eating beforehand, you said... I think I've got happiness handled.
Yeah. Well, the problem with him is that just after in the book, after reading about it, and you're like, oh, okay, so I'm going to take notes here and, like, learn about this. He then says, well, it's all actually just, like, completely impossible to achieve because he's saying that, like, then, like, later on in that, like, your philosophical timeline of philosophers, they then you have to, like, come to the realization that, of, like, what we were talking about, basically, like, the realizing that you're not going to be able to achieve these things to, like, their ideal outcome. Like, there has to be...
Epicurus did that, right?
Well, you know, I don't think anyone's going to ever reach, like, a point of just, like, pure happiness. Like, you need to...
But he lived...
But you take no issue with his three steps to total happiness.
Not really. Like, a little bit. I take issue kind of with the thinking, like, the death one that we were talking about. Like, I think there are things that would be worse than death. That,
what
for
do
instance,
you think?
Being tortured in Abu Ghraib for 15 years would be a pretty awful thing. Like,
what about electric eels biting your eyeballs and then shocking them?
Yeah, I'd probably rather that over dying.
Robbie, electric eels biting your eyeballs, electrocuting them, or death?
Death.
I've got to agree with Tom on this one.
What, you'd rather
I'll take that. Yeah. If someone says, I'm going to kill you right now, or just take this momentary, albeit probably blinding pain.
Yeah.
Bring them on, baby. Turn me into a light bulb. The Christmas tree of the she. Poseidon gets festive.
But yeah, my favourite thing about it was the thought part of saying that, like, happiness exists in complex psychological goods and not material things. So, like, realising that a Ferrari won't make you happy and that it's actually more complicated ideas of freedom, for instance, is something that will make you happy, not thinking...
No, this goes back to this constant debate we have.
Mm.
Dumbasses have it good.
Mm.
They're the ones that done got their happy on. You dig what I mean?
No, I don't reckon they do, because I think they think they know what's going to make them happy. And just because think you're happy doesn't make you happy, because things like down the line, you'll realize it, like, won't fulfill you properly. Like the thought that, oh, if I get the Ferrari, I'll be happy. It's just like an illusion. Like, it's a marketing ploy to make you just think. Like, it's so easy to be brainwashed into.
But is that a true dumbass? Wouldn't a true dumbass think, yeah, having some snags with me mates on the weekend, that's what's going to make me happy?
Well,
I'm thinking about what the principles of life are.
Well, they're on the money there. Like, they're with friends.
Yeah, but they're not done thinking. They're just hanging.
Well, they got lucky with their thinking. They're lucky. They guessed it and they got it right. I think lots of people
Did they do any guessing at all, though? Or did they, much like geese migrate to Australia from South America, it's just intuitive that if you're hanging around with good friends like us three. Thanks for being part of the team, whoever's listening.
Us four. The three of us and the listener.
Yeah. What do you mean three, Jordan? What's your thought, fourth member? Interesting.
I think we've got two listeners now, so five.
What do you mean? There's a second audience member out there.
I think so.
That was such a nervous joke.
I hope so.
I do have to mention, actually, I think with Epicurus, especially with his food, didn't he mention, you know, he mentioned the sort of the delicacies and how you should have them sparingly, generally maybe have bread and olive oil, correct? And I think he also mentioned that your
Nutella.
Well, the Nutella was not a thing.
Yeah, the little
then.
Things.
Well, I mean, I suppose now...
I mean, all they had back then was Nutellino.
Well, now it would be considered a delicacy. But I think we should really take a moment and reflect on the good cheeses out there, such as the Brie and the Camembert. And if you just have maybe like a slice a day...
A little bit.
Sort of
an olive.
An olive was one of his ones. Yep. So if you have...
Bigger stringers. Would you count them as a delicacy?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, what do you think of Beagle?
No, I don't know about them.
What do you think is more of a delicacy, Le Snack or Stringers?
Oh, it's got to be the Stringer.
Well, it's got to be Le
Snack.
Snack
has the... Yeah.
It's got a
Le. It's closer to... And that.
Because it's French.
You show your true colours. You do believe in magic, Tom. How does it peel like that? It looks like a wand. The guy on the front is a magician, much like Dark Wizard Matt Tarrant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who he probably based his life off, looking at the Bigger Stringer's mascot and went, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. I feel like I'm an expert on this. I used to have a Bigger Stringer and a little snack for recess, like every day through school.
And you thought the Bigger Stringer was more of a refined palate, the processed cheese lot.
Yeah. Digging through my bag and pulling something out, if it was a little snack, I'd be like, ugh. All right. And then if it was a bigger string, I'd be like, oh, yeah.
Do you think that was mostly marketing?
Yeah, maybe. Making a little tree. Like, peeling all the bits off so it looks like a little tree.
Yeah, the crux of it, have an olive, have a bit of cheese every day.
Yeah.
So. Bigger stringers, a tentative four on Epicurus's 3/4 steps to happiness.
Yeah, the four.
Yes. And now, having children's snacks is every hipster knows, at least conversing about it, surely.
Yeah, exactly. But now we're going to actually have some more advice as to how to live your life to the fullest. We're addressing this quite a lot. We're thinking it's of value to you, the listener. We're just assuming, I guess.
I don't know.
I guess we'd like to hear it when we're here.
On top of this, when you're in your 20s, to anybody who's listening to us in their HSC, it gets worse. Ooh. it surely does. We've all come to this realization. This is why we're looking at philosophy books and self-help obsessively.
Mm.
Your life kind of becomes more mellow. You feel neither highs nor lows as part of... You're Lisa Simpson's MTV generation.
Mm.
It becomes worse.
I don't know if life gets worse. I just think you want to get on the ball quick. You know,
don't be like us. There are no signposts after you leave school, and
no one's going to help you out.
I feel road less traveled. Where's the road?
It's just been a blur, isn't it?
You reckon it's just been a blur?
Yeah.
You're in a maze made of the crop maze. That's your life after high school, surely. Mm. That confusing.
So, yeah, hopefully these kind of segments might just, like, spur you into action to think a little bit before you...
Don't be like us. Don't be like us, please. Honestly, it's... Like, well, this is a warning.
Yeah.
If you don't want this.
You don't want to be what we're
sad and... tanking fast. Again, quartet on the Titanic, baby.
play us out, baby.
Play us out. I take it the fourth member never speaks. Dead.
Yeah, we're just chatting to...
There was four of us.
Yeah.
All right, Jordan, tell us about your six vehicles.
That Tony Robbins.
Mine?
Yours.
Tony Robbins.
Well,
thank you very much.
Yeah, Tony's yours.
I'll take credit for this masterstroke that is the highest rated TED Talk ever.
Yeah. It is.
Okay. Well, that was good to get some factual confirmation. I was thinking that people were going to be amazed. Flabbergasted, perhaps.
I'm amazed.
But that's it all we got this time. Some munching cookie. Which, again... Get away from the microphone doing that. And second of all, everybody was just like, that's right, it is. Anyway, what you got? So, here's what it is. Six needs every human being has. There's four that are fundamental, and you will subconsciously be driven to fulfilling them in a way that you will suit, that you find fulfills them. And there's thousands of ways of reaching them, but there is. Certainty, uncertainty, significance, and connection. Those are the four primary ones. So let's just go through them very quickly. Certainty. Both you guys, clear addicts of certainty. That is your driving force in life. You are both completely driven by making your life as safe as possible. Definitely.
Easy. Probably. As easy as we can.
Robbie doesn't try and make it as easy as he can. That's Tom's... Tom strives to become a human hammock. That's what he wants to be in life. That's why he turns his biggest stringers into a palm tree to remind him of what he could one day be tied to. Yeah.
Yes. Bear necessities.
That really is you. You are that bear in the Jungle Book, surely.
I think that's pretty fair enough.
What character in the Jungle Book are you, Robbie?
Yeah, Robbie. Mowgli.
Bagroogly.
Bagroogly.
I don't know. Mowgli. Nah, I honestly, I don't know. The snake?
Why would you choose that? That's a terrible character to pick yourself.
That's the first one that came to my mind.
You're clearly the little boy.
Okay, so we're certain. Yeah, you high five yourself.
Yeah. Yes, the third one. Robbie deemed that he was deserving of it himself for laughing at my joke.
Yeah, was it a clap
he
or a high five?
He gave himself a high five for having a laugh.
Okay, so excellent. Certainty.
Truly a highlight of the pod. Put that into our showreel, Robbie.
Okay.
Okay, so that is definitely yours. But there's uncertainty. These are the people that are addicted to extreme sports. They might be addicted to shoplifting.
Traveling.
Your classic Torbjörn. For those who have watched the Chronicles of Yilmaz, like, every time I walk past some construction workers, I now know what it feels like to be a woman being catcalled. Every time I walk by.
Yilmaz.
I
fourth. Connect Four, Robbie edition.
What's the third one?
Yeah. And then there's the connection. This is what most women are addicted to, which is socializing or finding a way to being. What are you guys laughing at?
Because it's just like a.
It's a common criticism of like the Geordies brand, right? Like you guys just, you know, you just boil women down to this, like, you know,
yeah, like
one thing to be laughed
six
at.
Six driving factors, yeah. And all women fit into one of them. as if Tony Robbins has said that. That's your, like, swing on it. It's like, yeah, Tony Robbins, and I'll add this kind of, like, sexist shit.
You said it was me. You warned everyone it was mine.
All right, so women like driving. Socializing.
Or six driving factors, a girl, and a pizza place.
All right.
You know it is, though. Definitely. I mean, read any psychological book ever. They'll say that the woman's brain is hardwired to socialize.
Oh, all right.
Laughing my scientific theories out of the auditorium has been that uproarious. I am Charles Darwin in this situation. I am right. You are conventional scientists.
Have you seen Django Unchained?
No.
Okay. It's a little bit like at the end with Leo, isn't it?
I don't remember.
Oh, for goodness sake. The one scene where he, like, you know, he impales himself with
the
glass.
The one rule that we have about this podcast, don't bring up movies.
No.
Yeah, right. Have you ever seen this film?
No.
Explain. Keep going, though.
Basically, it's a bit where Leo just describes the brain characteristics of various people, kind of... you know, saying that people...
Oh, like that of the black man.
Yeah, the black man has, like, less faculties or whatever. That's essentially it. And, yeah.
So, what is the one that all women...
No, it's not.
Connection.
Is it? Yes. Right. I mean, this is just... I'm saying... This is, like, most modern books. This is a book written by a female scientist saying that the female brain is more hardwired for social interaction than a male brain is.
Yeah.
A male brain is more focused on single tasks that are antisocial by nature.
Yeah, we're more just saying, I think, that, like, you could find a woman that fits into one of these other vehicles, not like that.
Oh, yeah, 50%
of the population are all into connection. Okay. While the men are allowed to come into the other part.
Come on, damage control, Jordan.
I mean, there are ones that are linked to connection that are men as well, but it is much rarer. Much like the next one, which is significance, a lot more men in significance than there are in connection. That's the difference, right? Okay. Which is why most men are focused on one task, because they want to get really good at that task for being appreciated. And it actually boils down as well to the fact that when women are depressed, most of the time it's because they feel like they're not loved by other people, whereas men don't feel like they're needed. That's most of the cases of depression with men as opposed to women.
Isn't that... So, that's significance?
Yeah.
Right.
So, most men categorize into that. Then there's growth... and contribution. And these are the two spiritual needs. Right. That if you fulfill these, that's the key to a happy life. I reckon he's onto something there. Truly, if you feel like that you're contributing to society and as a result, you're growing as a person, you will feel happy. I reckon that's a much simpler thing than Epicurus's three steps. Because first of all, he's already simplified it to two. Second off, I can't remember all those words, but I can remember growth, contribution.
Oh, friends, freedom, thought.
It's pretty close.
He's done you there. Sorry.
What? Okay, so you think friends, freedom, and thought is what? A better recipe to happiness than contribution and growth?
No, what I am saying is it's easy to remember. That's it. You were like, I don't know all the words. Yeah, all these words you're saying, I remember them. And then he calls you out.
It's great when Robbie's a ref.
It's always the adjudicator.
Just really not qualified for the post at all.
Do you want to plug your stand-up as well, Jordan?
Yeah, come see my stand-up in September.
What? Is it September now?
Surprise!
No, you're joking.
Well, I can't because the election's heating up. I have a duty to the nation.
Oh, come on. You've just pushed it back.
Slash, you are terrified.
Okay. Well, the producer of Giant Dwarf does listen to the podcast. Can we please bleep that out?
Okay.
All right. Okay, next we've got...
Well, say it. Yeah, we'll say it just so it's easy to cut out.
No. Actually, keep it in. And keep it the point where you said, let's just cut that out.
You give all of this in.
All right, that's right. Then.
Because, but Sam, if you're listening, it actually is because of that. But, we're having a laugh.
Yeah. What is actually the election?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, you could be, yeah.
It's the first we're hearing about it. Yeah.
Tom, the on-the-ball producer of Friendly Geordies.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're doing. Okay.
Sure, that's your reason. God, you are one of those coaches to a boxer that has been in jail more than the boxer.
Keeping up with your training outside?
Just because you're in prison doesn't mean you don't get to train. They got weights in there.
All right, so now we're going to move on to Robbie's meme segment, which is...
Yeah, so I'll just a brief thing that I've prepared in the future, because we record this on a Monday, so...
Right, yeah, so we wanted to talk about this as well. So what's happening this week?
I haven't quite worked it out yet, but I'll have something.
Well, that's just a perfect summary of what this shit show really is.
What? So, yeah, we just want to bring up the meme segment and just be like, what's going on with it? What's happening?
What do you mean?
As in,
what's the end game?
Yeah, where's this going?
Education.
Continually? Forever? You think there's enough content in memes to keep this going?
I might evolve it as I go. I mean, it started off as I can't believe it is art. Now it's get woke on meme trying, so I'm like waking up the sheeple.
Right.
So you've changed the title.
Yep.
Well,
so it's just evolving, it's just evolving.
Sure. Well, we're thinking it's getting stale, Robbie. So we're wanting to basically say, keep going with it. But
there are ramifications. You have to know that all your actions in life do have consequences. You need to learn this. You need to learn something called responsibility.
So what we're thinking is, you can keep doing the meme
segment.
Exactly.
You don't know the definition of responsibility, do you, mate?
What is
that? You straggly haired mop.
That's not what I'm saying, is it?
No, yeah. So we're just saying that if you want to keep doing the meme segment, that's fine. But as a result, we're going to have to do one of our own segments, which is tell one of Robbie's secrets.
Yeah, that's just exclusively ours. Yeah. And you're not invited in on it. And you don't know what it is, but you have to splice it in as the editor of this podcast. You have to sit there and listen to something, be exposed to thousands of people that you don't want known.
What do you think?
We're educating the people. It's educating, isn't it? We'll change the title, just like you do after a couple of weeks as well. We can do that.
This isn't funny. This isn't comedy. This isn't funny.
Okay, explain yourself. Why is that?
This is just some bullshit.
Well, there was a comment that came in that was bullshit. Saying that they're getting sick of the memes.
There's one guy who gives a shit. I don't care about that guy.
Who do you care about then?
I care about...
You care about satiating your own need for memes.
I care about people getting educated that want to be educated.
I feel like we've done about a month of
He's education. Got a fast forward button. If he doesn't want to listen to it, he can fast forward. I don't give a shit.
Well,
that's the same with our segment. You can fast forward that too. It's not special.
Yeah.
No, but it's still out there, isn't it? I'm not into that.
What do you want out there then? I thought you wanted knowledge out there.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, that's
secrets
educating
are
people.
One thing, and fucking memes are another, aren't they?
All right, so what we're
this
thinking...
This is a fun little thing you guys cooked up. Isn't it? Fun little fucking segment, isn't it?
We do love it, yes.
Yeah,
we think it's great.
All right, so what we're going to do is... Robbie.
Never doing this again.
You can either decide to keep going with the meme segment and then we do our segment as well, or we stop it.
I don't give a shit. Either I'll do
it
or I'm not going to do it anymore.
What, the pod?
I'll stop the pod.
You can't do your meme segment.
I'm not going to do it anymore. I won't come in next week. I'll do the sound. I'm just not going to.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's your own choice.
For the worst. We did not expect it to get that raw. We knew this was going to get bad.
I didn't know you would make an ultimatum out of it, that you'll quit the pod if you can't talk about memes.
I don't care. I'll stop.
Do you honestly care more about memes than something you've invested a year of your life in?
Yeah.
All right, so wait. Just so we're clear, you're going to continue the meme story now? Are you going to do Get Woke or Die Trying?
We'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
There's no we'll see, because we need to figure out if we're going to include our segment as well.
Honestly, like, I know recording and all this is fun. I put a lot of work into that stuff, and I think it's genuinely of worth, you know. And I don't think it's worth being turned into a stupid game, you know. Like that.
What do you mean? How can you? It has to be fun. Last week you ruined your segment in that you made it into a huge joke.
I didn't. It was it was theater of the mind.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
you can't
don't treat it as though it's like the most serious thing ever, and then get annoyed if we're wanting to make a joke about it. If you're making a joke in it yourself,
I showed it to you, and you're like, "Yeah, that's good. I like it."
Yeah, as a joke, but it's fun. Like, it's meant to be. Are you seriously approaching the meme thing?
You said
we're
doing a comedy podcast. That's what you said. You know, every time I come up with something, you're like, "Oh, well, it's comedy podcast or a radio show." So why are we doing this? You said it's a joke. It's funny. So what's your problem?
Well, I'm saying, like, right now you're approaching this as though, like, you know, this is like some serious chat about memes.
It can be, like, or it can be a theater of the mind fun, you know. And either way, it's enjoyable. So right. What's your problem?
We don't have a problem. We're saying that
you
we
do.
Want to do.
We're, you do. You do have a problem because you're, well, doing this.
Yeah, well, we're saying that we're just like we're wanting to do our own segment as well.
Yeah.
Why can't we have a segment if you've got a segment?
Because the content of your segment is utter bullshit.
Why don't even know what our segment's about? Because it's about you.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with it? It's a secret. That's the nature of a fucking secret, Tards.
Don't steal the word.
No.
It's the nature of the word.
Do you want to apologize?
Look up a dictionary.
Apologize for your filthy mouth, Rob.
Oh, I'm not apologizing for shit. I don't give a shit. Honestly. This is the worst. I thought this was going to be a good one. 60. I thought this was going to be a good one.
Do you want to do a sizzle? Do you want to do a sizzle for your beams?
No sizzle.
Completely just ruined, is it?
To it. Just go into it now.
And now it's time for day 5 of the Catfish Man's Tale, a deranged man from 4chan. I'm becoming a monster. I'm messaging girls all fucking day at work. Boss thinks I'm a fucking legend staying in late. Just too wrapped up with my alter ego, Catfish Man. Message one girl to come meet me for some drinks at the place about a block from work. She agrees. I know that place. It's got karaoke, right? Decide to go there. Live on the scene. She waits 20 minutes. Texts me. Jerk. Text her back with a picture of an old woman in a hospital. Tell her, my gran just died. Sorry. Look at her face in real time. She feels like such a bitch. Then text her, how about I come see you in an hour? She smiles and texts me her address. Order Domino's to her house as soon as she leaves from the bar phone. And so concludes day 5 of the Catfish Man's Tale. Which is not technically a meme segment. It's more sort of like an aside. So it's okay to put in here. I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there, without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much. Does that make me crazy? Does that make me crazy? I don't know. Does that make me crazy? Possibly. Does that make me crazy? Possibly. And I hope that you're having the time of your life. But think twice. That's my only advice. come on now, who do you? Who do you think you are? Bless your soul. You really think you're in control? Guess again, bitch.
Well, I think you're crazy. You're crazy. I just think you're crazy, just like me.
I think you're crazy.
Just like me.
I think you're crazy.
Bless your soul. You think you're in control, bitch?
Guess again. Who's crazy now, bitch? And a waltz back in my life? Not this time. Bless your soul. Guess again, bitch.
Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe you're crazy. Maybe we're crazy. Probably.
Good night.